Welcome to New York Wedding Jam, the podcast for modern couples. I am your host, Martine Dardniak, and I'm joined by my co-host here, Jason Alicia. Jason, how's it going?
I'm doing okay, Martine. I am just kind of coming off a little bit of a bronchitis thing. It's been a rough few days for me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sort of coming out with it, but I may cough a little during this episode. I hope not to.
Man, I'm so sorry to hear that, Jason. I've had bronchitis exactly one time, and I will tell you that the one thing I know about bronchitis is it lasts a very long time. And so, unfortunately, I think I was sick for like 2 months. The cough just kind of lingered for a while. So I hope you have a better time of it than I did, for sure.
I have never had bronchitis either in my whole life. So
it's there's this old clip. If I find it, I'll send it to you. With this lady who talks about how she caught bronchitis, and the end of it is like, ain't nobody got time for that. And after I had bronchitis, I definitely understood her perspective a whole lot more, because it feels like an excessive waste of time.
That was Sweet Brown, and that was her name. And I'm a huge fan of like internet news stories like that, so I'm very familiar with that with that story.
Yeah, but I mean, it makes more sense now, right? You're like, nobody has time for this. Like, this is, it's a time suck, unfortunately. But I hope you start feeling a whole lot better and back to normal soon.
Thank you so much, especially as wedding season is really kind of coming upon us now.
Yeah,
and you know, today's episode is about spending money and where to allocate it. And I'm hoping people allocate their money with me and with you. But different people have different preferences about where they're going to put the lion's share of their money. What do you know about that?
Absolutely. And I think one thing that I appreciate so much about weddings is it's your day and you can do with it what you will, right? So there's so much room for preference. No two weddings will ever be exactly the same, because there's that human aspect to it and the preference of where do you want to spend your money? What do you want to do with this event? How do you want to celebrate your union, right? So I think some things that I've seen, and we can kind of talk about this from different ways, like, so from vendors that you're hiring, like, do you want to hire a wedding planner, right, to help you through this process? Is that important to you? And there are obviously reasons that it would be important to people, but again, it's not for everybody. Do you want to hire a videographer like Jason? And do you want people coming along so that we have a semblance of, we can review this day? I've had couples tell me that photography is not important to them. I don't understand the photo video lacking, but it's up to everybody to make sure that they understand that piece of it. Like, where do you think that your money should go from a vendor perspective? But there's also the piece about what do you want the experience to be like for your guests on the day of? So I think we can kind of approach it from those two different aspects today. What do you think?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's two ways to look at it, like you said. And you were talking about photo and video. Even within the documentarian category, like photo and video, there are certain couples that will even prioritize photo over video, and vice versa.
Or the reverse.
Right. Sometimes couples, like I've had a couple tell me, like blatantly say, like, I value video more than photo. And they're like trying to apologize. They're like, I know it sounds crazy. And I'm like, nope, it doesn't sound crazy to me. I love it.
Nope. Yeah.
Not that I love it, but you know, they are really valuing my service. And most people value the photo a little bit more than the video. So,
yeah. And I mean, I think it always depends, right? Like, there are definitely people, and I've had couples who want the video, especially nowadays, where they're like, no, photo, sure, we'll have some photo, but we really want to make sure that we have the video, because that we know we're going to watch, that we know we're going to come back to. Am I going to, you know, go through an online album? Am I ever going to print these pictures? Some people don't, right? Or they don't, it's not the value prop is not there for them. Everybody has a perspective to which they come to it with. And the beautiful thing, like I said, is that you have those options. my suggestion is always just that you think it through, right? That you know why you're making specific decisions as opposed to, well, everybody just does this thing. And so everybody tells you that you have to value photo more than video. And so I will clearly want to spend more money on photo than video. You don't have to if you don't want to, right? Like, if that's not your thing. Or I'm sure I can do this entire wedding myself. Yes, it's going to stress me out. Yes, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know how to come into it. And it would be nice to have the guidance, but everybody else I know has done it on their own. So I don't want to hire a planner. I mean, you could if that's your preference, but if you know that this is something that would help you enjoy your day better and help the day go more smoothly and be what you want it to be, then maybe hiring a planner is for you. It's at least worth thinking about and talking through the options so that you know why you're making a decision as opposed to just having decisions laid upon you.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that I see sometimes couples are really interested in doing, I have a word, I have a name for it. It's called relating. And really what the couple is interested in is in most weddings, a lot of times people don't have enough time to connect, either the couple with their guests and the guests with each other, guests with guests, right? And so I've seen some couples really spend money and time planning their wedding to be a big connection fest. So whether that be table games or an extended cocktail hour or extended group photos, which I know drives photographers crazy when they're trying to wrangle people into portraits and people just want to talk and connect and kiss and hug and they haven't seen each other in a long time and things like that. So, you know, if people are interested in relating, connecting, bonding with each other, that may be something to think about, where to place your money to have your guests and you as a couple connect and relate to each other.
Right. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, I've had couples keep their weddings more intimate for that reason. I want to make sure that I have a chance to meaningfully talk and connect with each of the individuals that I have invited to my wedding. I want them to be people that I know that we have a common theme with. I've had people spend a lot of time arranging their table table assignments because they want those people at the table to be able to have a conversation and connect with each other. Maybe they don't know each other, right? Like, so it's possible that you're bringing disparate groups together, but that you're still intentionally setting it up so that the people at this table have something in common that they can discuss, even like down to like naming the tables for something specific. Sometimes that's what that group of people has in common. Sometimes it's where they met, etc. But everybody has the opportunity to better connect. You know, maybe the couple does like to play games. Again, more interpersonal or that relational aspect of the wedding that takes a lot of time and a lot of thought to make sure that goes down the right way and can be done in a way that everybody will appreciate it. But I will tell you, this wasn't a wedding I planned. It was one of the most fun weddings that I've ever been to, though, is they obviously spent a lot of time ensuring that people were at tables that they had intentionally set up a group of people that they knew were going to get along, even if we'd never met. And I didn't know half the people at the table and had a blast. And typically it was the kind of thing where it was like a family wedding, right? So when I say family wedding, like a family friend, and they had brought us in. We were coming in, and normally when you do that kind of thing, you sit with your family. They split us all up. They split us all up because they knew that we all kind of had different things that we were interested in. And so they wanted to sit us at a table with like interests as opposed to just family, because that's easier. So things like that I think are really special and you can add to your day.
Was this you as a guest? Is that what you're telling me?
I was a guest.
I had a similar experience about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know if the audience knows this, but I was an ocean lifeguard for about 25 years. And one of our guys was getting married and lived in a beach community. And P.S., I'm at this table and the table is themed, right? You said each table has a different theme. So in the middle, the centerpiece was a lifeguard chair, a bunch of other beach items, beach related items. And there were some people that I worked with from the past, but there were other lifeguards from different beaches all at the lifeguard table. So it was really fun to meet other lifeguards, and we all have very similar experience because we work in the same region. We were right. protecting the Atlantic beach coastline, Atlantic Ocean, you know, coastline, just different parts of Long Island and Queens. But we were there for a reason. We were all sat there for a reason, and we did, you know, immediately go right into beach talk, and it was lifeguards are going to talk, you know, talk their talk. So.
Right. So at this table, and again, I don't know if the audience knows this one about me, but I like to sing, and this was a table of like-minded people. We broke out into song at some point at this table.
That's awesome.
We were, and it was kind of like, you know, people, everybody would have like a new song every now and again. It wasn't the whole night. Obviously, there was wedding stuff going on, but that we had these moments where we would just kind of spontaneously burst out into song, which to me sounds like a lot of fun, but you know, I guess it's not
everybody. I bet the neighboring table wasn't so happy about it.
they were perfectly fine. Thank you so much.
No, you're making me cough. Oh my God.
So, you know, that kind of thing though, that I think is really just fun. We kept the volume down.
Were you guys like interrupting the speeches and stuff like that?
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Like, we were just appreciating each other's company and the fact that we all kind of had this thing in common with each other. Like, where do you like to karaoke, and where do you like to sing, and ooh, what are your favorite musicians, etc. So like, we just had a nice lively conversation with moments of song that, okay. that we kind of brought in, but we had a blast doing it.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. So before the show, we were talking about people who are very interested in having a beautiful aesthetic.
Yes.
And so if that is where you want to spend the bulk of your money, if you really want to have a beautiful looking wedding, what are some where can people spend their money? What are some things they can do with that?
I mean, I've seen some fantastic things with flowers and decor. That, you know, again, like not just standard centerpiece, etc., but that you really want to talk to a floral designer about making sure that you get the aesthetic down right. And then it, beyond flowers, there's other elements of decor that you can bring into it that can also just make it your own too, so that it doesn't have to be just kind of standard one thing or the other. But if the aesthetic is part of what you value or the thing that you're bringing to the table, definitely talking to a florist about it, definitely talking to a designer at that, and ensuring that you get the design elements that you want included. It also comes down to the venue itself, right? Like making sure that you spend some time picking a venue that has the right aesthetic for you so that you can build upon it, as opposed to completely starting from scratch, maybe, which may be an option depending on, again, what you're thinking of here. I've seen people, the one thing that I would encourage though is if there's kind of a lot of decor being built into the plan, is that you ensure that your venue allows you time to build it out, because those things don't happen
In 2 hours,
right? Which a lot of times is the amount of time that the venue will allow you to be in the room to set up. And so if you have to have somebody coming in, we're building stages, we're hanging things from ceilings. Are these things allowed at your venue? Do you have time to actually properly build them out? But you can do some really beautiful things and ensure that that goes down your way. It just depends on your perspective on what you want that aesthetic to look like.
So in the previous week, we had our first guest, Catherine Cooper, the non-traditional wedding photographer, who was lovely. And she made a comment about my lighting and said, "Oh, Jason, your lighting looks amazing." And it does, just for those of you listening and can't see me, it looks amazing. But I put special thought into it. And one thing that I've been learning about recently is I've been meeting a lot of lighting specialists, specifically wedding lighting specialists, who will come into your venue and create a scene in every single room. So if you're having a cocktail hour in one room, or your ceremony in one space, if it happens to be in the evening, usually it's the reception area that's happening in the evening. There are lighting specialists that are skilled at creating beautiful lighting scenes. I don't know what else to call them. but that will illuminate, you know, and add to the decor. Make your flowers look even more amazing. Make your centerpieces look even more amazing. Highlight different areas where people you want people to visit, like the photo booth or the band or the sweetheart table. There's just so much that can happen.
Or pin spot lighting on your centerpieces, or you know, dance floor lighting that you might be adding beyond the just a simple uplighting. Like, uplighting is nice. I'm not, you know, again, I'm not diminishing that. But again, that you've got specialists that are designed to make the lighting look beautiful. And Jason, your lighting is fantastic. I am always quite
jealous. Well, thank you, Martine. You know, I think we went to a recent event, and I don't even remember what it was. I think it was December, that WIPA Gala in New York City.
Yes.
At the Mandarin yes. Oriental Hotel. I don't know if you recall the lighting in that place.
I do.
When I arrived early because I was filming the event, and I met the lighting specialist. I can't remember his name at the moment. I have him on my Instagram. But we were talking. I've always been a fan of lighting, even before I became a wedding videographer. Whenever I would go to IKEA, I would always be in the lighting section because their lighting section is extensive. So I've always been obsessed with creating lighting scenes and warm lighting and mood lighting in my own apartment. And I do the same in my home now. I'm not great at it, but I do love light. And so just meeting, oh my God, I can't remember his name. And he was just,
it'll come to you.
Yeah, he was showing me all of the different scenes that he was creating. It was a disco theme, so lights were bouncing off the disco balls and different colors. And I'm just a big fan of lighting, and I think that if I were getting married today,
You'd spend some more time on the lighting.
I'd spend some more time. Like, that would be a vendor. Like, whoever thinks that's like a vendor, but I mean, these people are creating amazing scenes and visuals and accentuating the decor that you already have. So I'm just a big fan of lighting.
No, 100%. And I think it is just from the perspective of there's so many things. So I've seen beautiful backdrops that have been built, you know, from the ground up, and not just kind of your standard, okay, there's something here, but literally people taking time to build this in, incorporating lights and drapery and positioning, etc., so that everything kind of focuses the way that it needs to. Or I've met tabletop decor vendors where that's all they do is they provide decor for your tables, and you have so many options on what that looks like. And that's all, literally all they do. They've got rentals for your tables, and you can spend time designing what the tabletop looks like if that is something that's really important to you. Or, you know, from like the down to the fork, right? To, you know, like, we don't just have to have standard silverware, for example, like things like that. Or are we going to use chargers or plates, you know, beyond just the flowers? And even with the floral design doesn't just have to be a one centerpiece. You know, I've seen all different kinds of centerpieces and in different shapes, sizes, with different materials, etc. I know a vendor who built the vases for the centerpiece because she couldn't find one that would give the aesthetic that her client was looking for. So she literally built the vases for her client.
Amazing.
In order to make sure that you had, that they had the right decor. So things like that, I just think if aesthetic is one of your things, you can spend a lot of time figuring it out exactly, but having that professional eye to get your vision down the way that you want it. And you can walk into the room and just be awed by what you're seeing there, from the lighting down to the last fork on your table.
One last thing about aesthetic. There's another company called Centex, like the word scent, S-C-E-N-T with an E-X at the end of it. You can find them on Instagram. They specialize in creating aromas for your events.
So, yes, I've met them.
So we talk about all... Oh, that's right. We were at that event together.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Were. Right. So they talk about all, like, the, you know, the taste and all of the things that you'll be eating and seeing and hearing. But this company specializes in creating different aromas for the different rooms or different spaces at your event. And Martine and I were at an event together where we got to create a scent or create an aroma for ourselves. And I guess that's what's involved in that. You design a smell, and the diffusers are placed all over the space, and your space or your event can smell like however you want it to smell, which is amazing.
Which is amazing, and I don't think we spend enough time thinking about what a room smells like, but the scent really does add to the mood and the atmosphere. And so that's one of those things where, like, there, any way you want to go about it, if the aesthetic or kind of mood of the room, if you will, is something that's really important to you, spend some time thinking about which vendors or what that wants to look like, what you want that to feel like, and what you want the guest to experience from that aspect. One other thing that I really like for couples is for the couples who are into the party,
yes,
of the moment, deciding on what kind of party atmosphere you would like, or how much time you're going to spend on that piece of your event. So from my experience, that's where we come into band versus DJ and scheduling, like timeline wise, how much time do you have in it? So those are my experiences, like making sure you're spending time deciding on the musical theme and what that party is going to feel like for you. Are there any surprises you want your guests to have? Do you want performers of any kind there? I've had people do things like, I had a couple that did stilt walkers at their wedding, for example, because that was something that was really super. They wanted that experience for their couple. So different things that you can have from a party atmosphere or experience that you want your guests to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been at weddings with the stilt walkers. Absolutely amazing. It's just so fun. And there's also like the robot guys, those robots that'll show up at your wedding and perform. Right. But even without that, if you think about a simple DJ, and I don't mean that to insult DJs, but there are some DJs where there will be a DJ and an MC, and there are some DJs who specialize in being more behind the scenes. They are minimal. They are just there to announce your presence, announce you as a couple, and play music. And then there are other DJs who are an MC teams that are showmen or show people and are really into revving up your crowd. And they are like a ringleader at a circus or an announcer. And they have these great voices and they will, you know, interact and engage with the crowd and make the event more lively. So even without hiring performers or bands or fire breathers or stilt walkers or violin. I saw a violin guy one time. It was an electric violin.
Electric violin.
And he was dancing. Maybe we saw the same guy. He's
right.
flipping around, playing the violin, and it was amazing. But even without that, there are DJ companies that are meant for to be, you know, behind the scenes and really kind of minimal.
Minimalist.
And then there are DJ companies that are designed to be the centerpiece of your entertainment for the evening, with lights and fog machines and sparkler things that fly up in the air and laser light shows and very gregarious and entertaining MCs and very funny guys and just, right? So that, you know, depending on what you want in terms of your party, and of course, obviously being able to play the kind of music that you want that's really going to get your guest out onto the dance floor and keep them out on the dance floor and leave it out on the dance floor, as some of our couples have, you know, that's especially when we were coming out of the pandemic, a lot of my couples were like, I just want to dance until I drop.
Right.
With my friends, you know.
And I think that's the thing, like, you know, making sure that you spend the time, again, however, whatever that party atmosphere is that you're looking for, that you're picking a vendor that will get you where you want to go.
Right.
So with the DJs, what I always tell couples, and I mean, I'm sure the DJs can do this discussion better than I can, right? But DJs, good DJs, are reading the room and reading the floor and designed to get people out onto the dance floor with the musical selections. So one thing you don't want to do is necessarily have to, like, dictate every single you know, the playlist in this order is what, you know, you want the DJ to do. You want them to be able to feel the vibe of the room and get that going. And if you've got an MC that came along, or even if you have a separate MC, because there are MC specific companies too. So maybe you found a DJ that you love, but they don't MC. Like, you can also then hire a separate MC. That's a possibility. And making sure, like, that's the person who's going to be out on the floor hyping up your guests and making sure that we're getting that party atmosphere that you want. So there's so many options. It's just really more about thinking through who are you as a couple? How do you want the day to go? What do you want your guests to experience? Down to things we didn't even talk about from a food experience, right? I've had people do, like, you know, special food stations or special dessert stations, ice cream bars, and there are food trucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on, you know, there are multicultural couples who only wanted a food truck because they wanted to have food from various backgrounds. And so they didn't want to do just one caterer, right? And so things like that that are so important in terms of trying to decide, what does this day feel like ultimately? There's tons of ways to spend your money, I guess, is the point, Jason.
I'm getting excited. I want to get married again and, like, hire a lighting specialist and some taco trucks to come to my wedding.
Sounds like a good plan. Sounds like a good plan. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just fun for people to think these things through and decide ultimately, yeah, I really want to have this kind of experience. I know my guests, and I think they would really appreciate A, B, C, or D, you know, or for yourself, like, yeah, you know what would make this day great is if we just hired a fire breather, you know, to come in and perform, or the electric violinist that's going to be there during cocktail hour, or the magician I've seen come through and do tricks, or the comedian that I've seen come in and tell jokes, you know, during the kind of the lull before the reception events begin. So there's so many different ways that you can go about it. It really is, sky's the limit.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, this has been a great episode. I'm surprised how excited I got about talking about all these different experiences. And maybe I want to become a planner, Martine, I think.
You can have a lot of fun with it. We can work together. Yeah. I will definitely happily bring you into it. And then you can make sure we get great video and lighting while we're at it.
Anyway, let's start to wrap up. It's been a great episode, Martine, as always. And yeah, I guess I'll see you in our next episode.
We'll chat soon.
Okay, bye.